shall pierce him through the cross he bore for me.
Let's stand together. Got a couple. These are a couple of my favorite Christmas songs. I enjoy singing them. They're still so much fun to sing. But we're going to sing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Are y'all ready?
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us from all Satan's power. Gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was
King.
gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the tomb. Oh, oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright. Behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, sounds through the earth and skies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading.
We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2 is, of course, where most people would consider is the Christmas story. I know it's certainly considered such in our family. That's our tradition, is to read from Luke chapter 2 on Christmas morning before we exchange gifts. We have the unique privilege of having church on Christmas. I can't recall the last time that's happened. I'm sure it's happened in my many years of preaching here. But we look forward to having service on that day. And I kind of have in my mind an idea of wanting to incorporate the Christmas story with some Christmas songs. And I'm going to get with Brother Kyle and try to see if we can't come up with a plan to do that, to where we can kind of read the Christmas story and sing through it. I know we've done that before. It's just been a while, and probably would never find the old order of service that we had to do that, but that's kind of what's in my mind. So if that sounds like something that you want to break away from your family Christmas and come and be a part of, I'd encourage you to do so. We won't keep you just too terribly long, but we'll make our way through the Christmas story and sing those Christmas songs that relate to it, and have a few words of encouragement to say this coming Sunday. But this Sunday, the last of our Christmas sermons, if you will, is on the topic of peace on earth. I really enjoyed the last few Sundays being able to preach on different themes that relate to Christmas, and just from some of your responses, I feel like that you have enjoyed them as well, that they spoke to you and you gained something from them. So I hope that will be the same case today as we think about peace on earth. And so from Luke chapter 2, there in verse number 10, it says, "Then the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," that was last Sunday, "which shall be to all people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So peace is the peace on earth is the theme that I want us to consider. Peace is freedom from disturbance. It's tranquility or calmness, many different ways to describe peace. The peace that our God gives is the only true peace that there is. Jesus tells us so in John 14:27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If we measured peace on a scale and try to describe the peacefulness of our times, then we would find that we were not very peaceful in the world in which we lived if we had to measure it and somehow quantify it. Our world is rife with conflict, with fightings and wars, sadly. I hate to bring to be the bearer of bad news. I'm not trying to be a downer or anything, but I want to really build the backdrop for how valuable the peace is that we have with God by comparing it to the peace that we have with one another, with our fellow man. There are many conflicts in this world that are raging even as we speak. And in Myanmar, for example, there's tremendous civil unrest that has followed a coup to overthrow their government. Within the past year, over 150,000 people have died in that conflict. Afghanistan continues to be a hotbed as it has skirmishes with Pakistan and internal fightings for power all throughout their country with the takeover of the country by the Taliban. In Mexico, there's a drug war that has been raging now for quite some time. Politicians have got involved and declared war on certain of those cartels as well. And two of the major cartels have been having a civil war going on in among themselves, not with each other, but in among themselves. Over 7,000 people died in that drug war last year, and reaching up close to 100,000 people have died in the drug wars of Mexico in the last decade or so. Ukraine, all too familiar to us at this point. Nobody really knows the exact number of those that have died, but it's estimated to be well over 100,000 people at this point. And they're in the clutches of winter at this point, and the main strategy is to knock out the power of those massive million people plus cities in order to punish the Ukrainians and bring them into submission. It's a sad reality on the ground in Ukraine right now. In Yemen, there's a civil war that's been raging now for quite some time. Almost 400,000 people have died there in that Muslim country of Yemen. Ethiopia has civil unrest, and nearly a million people at this point have died in their civil unrest. And those are just the major conflicts that are going on in the world. I probably have missed some, but there are many others that are happening as well that may not be quite on that scale, whether it be in Colombia or Somalia or the Congo or Nigeria. There are a dozen Islamic countries in Africa alone where there's major fighting that's taking place: in Iraq, Sudan, the Syrian civil war, Boko Haram, Mali, Iran, the Korean threat, India versus Pakistan, Palestinian conflict with Israel. I could go on and on. We do not have peace on earth. Now, we're here and we're dressed for Christmas and we want to sing about peace on earth, and it's a good feeling to be able to sing about peace on earth. But the stark reality is there is no peace on earth. But nevertheless, that is what the angels came and declared to us, was peace to the world on this day when Jesus was born all those years ago. I think it's best described God's peace is that he gives to us in Philippians 4:7. And it says this about the peace of God. It says, "The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We can't truly comprehend the value of peace, let alone understand it in its importance. Peace is such a valuable thing. Countless sermons and songs have been written about it. I've preached my share of them and sang about peace many times. One of my favorite songs is "Peace in the Valley," just a great Christian hymn. In 1861, a young mother was going through one of the traditions of her day. She was cutting a lock of her daughter's hair, and she was sealing it in an envelope to send to her father, who just loved the little curly locks of her daughter, of his granddaughter. She had a wax seal that she used with the family's emblem on it. She cut the lock and put it in the envelope and was happily thinking, I suppose, about sending it to her father. Somehow, in some tragic accident, she knocked over the candle, and it caught her dress on fire. She wore a large crinoline dress. That's an old word that we don't use anymore, but it's the old dresses that had the wire trappings that made the women look like they were, you know, walking on a cloud, I suppose, with layers upon layers of delicate, beautiful fabric. It caught on fire. Screaming for her husband's help, he came and burned himself pretty badly trying to save his wife. She went into a coma and died the next day. It's a tragic story. The husband of that woman was one of America's all-time greatest poets. His name was Longfellow. And he was correct in saying in the song that he wrote that it somewhat told that story. He said, "In despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Now, I'll get to Longfellow later because I don't want you to leave you with the taste in your mouth that this guy was a cynic and that's what he wrote and what a terrible thing. Actually, it's one of the greatest Christmas songs of all time. It's just one phrase in that Christmas song. We went and saw the movie that's out right now, which is why it's fresh on my mind. About Longfellow, and it's produced by a company called Sight and Sound. Are they out of Missouri? Is that their home state? Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Chandler worked with them for some time and knows quite a few of them. And they do great Christian theatrical plays and stuff, and this is their first foray into the movie-making business. And it was a well worth our time to go and watch it. It was a very uplifting, I think, movie. And so, but his words reminds me of Jeremiah the weeping prophet. In Jeremiah 8:11, he said the people of Judah were wayward and were not fully wanting to return to the Lord. He said of them, he said, you're saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. People do want peace, and we talk the words like peace is something that's important to us. But the reality is, there is no peace. It's easy to come to the same conclusion as Longfellow or Jeremiah, and just about anyone anywhere in the world at any time can say the same thing they did, which is we act like there's peace, but there truly is not. But it is exactly what God can and does intend to bring to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, which is peace. Reality is that peace that God brings to us in this day and time must first be experienced on an individual level if we're to have peace. I do not believe, and it's sad for me to say it, but I do not believe that we shall see a national peace. I do not believe that we shall see a world peace in this place that we live. I just don't think that that's on the horizon. I think that we're too far gone. We're past that possibility, but I'm a mere human, and God is a powerful God, and who knows what God might be able to do, what revival He might be able to bring. We can pray and hope for that. We can work toward that, but what I do know is this, that each individual has the opportunity, and God has the desire for each one of us to experience peace with Him, and so I want to share with you three forms of peace that He wants for all of us. First of all, He wants peace with Him, or with God. There's somewhat a debate, apparently, that goes on with the verse that I read to you this morning about peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And perhaps one of you, or two of you, or more than a couple of you, have a version outside of the King James Version. I'm sorry, but you probably do. And so, I'm just playing with you. It's okay that you have a different version than me. But if you do have a different version than me, you had a little extra phrase there, didn't you? It says something along the lines of goodwill toward those who... Huh? Those with whom He is well pleased. That's one. Okay, somebody probably has something a little different. Those who he favors. Okay, there you go. So that one's a little different too. And those are the two main ones that you'll see besides the KJV. And I'm not going to get off into a long diatribe as to which one's right and which one's wrong. Masoretic text versus blah, blah, blah. You don't care about all that nonsense. Nor do I, to be honest with you. But I will say this. Regardless whether it be KJV or NIV or NAS or HCBS or blah, blah, blah. You know, I consider them all to be the Word of God, and we can talk about the differences, and that's good. I think they're both right, to be honest with you. God has brought peace on earth. He's called Jesus. And God does favor those who seek peace with Him. God does bless us additionally. If we seek Him out, we shall find Him. We shall find peace if we want it. You shall find the Lord. If you knock, the door shall be opened to you. There's no doubt about that. You can have the peace of God. In the general sense, does God want for there to be peace on earth? Did God send Jesus in order for there to be peace on earth? The answer is yes and no. You have to get your Bible timeline correct to really get it correct. If you say that when Jesus came to the earth as a baby in Bethlehem, did God intend for that life to lead to peace on earth? My answer would be no. Jesus answered that for us Himself. He said, I did not come to bring peace on earth. I came to bring a sword. He answered that Himself. But nevertheless, we know that there's a future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when He is described as the Prince of Peace. And He will be a person of peace. Now, there'll be a terrible battle that takes place before that happens. But when all of His enemies are become His footstool, whenever He has vanquished all the foes and sets up His kingdom on this earth, there shall be peace on this earth. The lamb shall lay down by the lion. There will be peace on earth. So regardless of how you interpret the Scripture or which Scripture that you have, they're correct if you look at it in the right time frame. On the personal level, though, which is where we are as individuals, is on a personal level, we need to have peace with God. And God wants to have peace with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. We can get wrapped up in the big fights and stuff that goes on along this world, but at the end of the day, what have you done with Jesus Christ? What have you done with baby Jesus that was born in the manger? Who is He to you? Do you have peace with Him? Do you have peace with God? Colossians 1:20, great verse of Scripture, says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. We know why He came to Bethlehem. He came to Bethlehem to die on the cross for you so that you might have peace and be reconciled unto God, because you've been alienated from God because you're a sinner. And so He died. He shed His blood so that your sins might be forgiven, that you might have a relationship once again with Him. Do you have peace with God? Is there peace on earth? Is there peace in your heart is the better question. Do you have peace with God? Ephesians 2:14, for us Christians, we read this verse when we read it and we're comforted, because it says, for He Himself is our peace, who hath made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. He is our peace. We knew that His coming would not bring worldwide peace. And actually has had the opposite effect. Jesus has divided people. He's divided families and countries and brothers and children. Just as they hated Him, they'll hate us. If you live for Christ, you will suffer. It's going to cause problems to be a born-again believer, but that's okay. That's okay. That's what He experienced, and He gives us the strength and the grace that we need to experience the same. But the good news is that we have peace with God. I would rather be at peace with God than at peace with man. What about you? Some people think, you know, you just need to, you know, go along to get along or whatever. You know, do whatever you got to do to be at peace and that sort of thing. And even if it means compromising what you believe. I don't believe that one bit. Man, I saw a sign this week. It bothered me. It bothered me on a personal level. Because I knew that it's a harbinger of things to come. One of these rallies, you know, of some sort. And the little dude, he's holding a little sign there. And he said, your religious beliefs is not grounds for discrimination. And I thought, that's legislation one day right there. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. I hate to be a prophet. I don't want that to be true. I hope and pray that that is not true. But what you and I hold dear and what we believe with every fiber of our being is slowly but surely in the crosshairs of our society, that what we believe is hateful that what we believe is wrong, that what we believe needs to be protected against, needs to be legislated against. And what do we believe? We believe the Word of God. We believe God and His story. We believe that God made man and woman, and He intended for them to be a man and a woman. We believe in a husband and a wife. We believe in the family as God described it. And God forbid that we believe that. Because apparently, the trend is that that belief is hate. That belief is wrong. God help us if that's the road that we're headed down. But here's the good news. I have peace with God. I have peace with God. And so can you. And so should you. And I hope that you do. Jesus said it in Matthew 10:34, in case you're keeping score. He said, "Think that I am not come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Some would say, hey, that's a good thing. The sword is the Word of God or whatever. You can slice it and dice it any way that you want if it makes you feel better. But the reality is this, is that traditional belief in the God of the Scripture causes problems. Bigger and bigger every day it causes problems. But that's okay, because that means we're on the right track. Because the Bible describes that track, and it says it's a very narrow way, and few there be that find it. But broad is that path, it says, that leads to destruction. Stay on that narrow way. Stay narrow-minded, I might even encourage you to say, in a way of saying. Stay true to the Word of God. It's not as though God is not, that God rather is happy with people divided. God's not happy with that. He's not happy that there's fightings and that there's wars. That's not His ultimate desire, but He knew and He knows that it will be the result of what would take place in a wicked world. Satan's not sitting back snoozing. He's busy. He's the one who's leading to these divisions. He's sowing the discord among the brethren and among the peoples of this world, inspiring all of this hate, true hate. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For us, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's how he's described. I want to show you just a quick Bible lesson real quick. This Brother Pete taught us this, and it just blew my mind. And I want to share it with you. And it's in Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Jesus was in the synagogue one day. And as our brother was describing, whenever he was reading the Bible to us, not everybody had a Bible, they had a scroll. And the Bible says there that they delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. They handed him the Isaiah scroll. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. So he looked out for a particular verse. And here's what he read to them from the book of Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Isn't that awesome? But let me show you what I think was really the awesome part. We've got to look over to Isaiah and get it in context to really get the full thrust of it. Isaiah chapter 61. Starting there with the first verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Notice there's a comma right after that. Right in the middle of a verse, Jesus shut the Bible, or he closed the scroll, and he didn't finish the thought. Why would he do that? Because he was about to say, "Today has this scripture been fulfilled in your eyes?" Because what was left had not been fulfilled yet. Nor was it going to be fulfilled during his lifetime on earth. But it was going to be fulfilled, believe you me. But when it comes back again, is when the rest of that part is going to be fulfilled. We may not have peace on earth now, but one day we will. Because King Jesus is going to be here. The eyes of fire and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he shall proclaim that there is peace, and there shall be peace. You want to know what heaven's like? It's going to be what earth is like one day when Jesus rules over this place. If you believe in a millennial reign like I do. If you don't, it's okay. It's only for 1,000 years. We'll all be in heaven for eternity after that anyway. You can be wrong for 1,000 years if you want to. I ain't hurt my feelings, nothing. You know, be all right. Nevertheless, it says he closed the book. But what is to come? The day of the vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. That he might be glorified. That has to describe the future events of his coming. Back to this earth. He's going to take our ashes and make something beautiful out of it. He's going to take our tears and wipe them away. There's going to be a time of tranquility when Jesus is present. There's no doubt about that. You should have peace with God first. You can't have peace on earth until you have peace with God. And I hope that you have personal peace with Him. Second thing that you need to have, and God desires for you to have, is peace with each other. That is truly God's desire for us. Hebrews 12:4 says it very simply, follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. My favorite verse on the topic is Romans 12:18. And many, if you're here and you know your Bible very well, you know I was about to quote this verse because it is the peace verse as it relates to people. And it says this, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And that great beatitude said, blessed are the peacemakers. It's not always possible to live peaceably with some people. I get that. I understand that. God knows that. That's why he says there's a time for war. In the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time when sometimes you just have to fight, if that's what it calls for. But he says if it's on you, if it's in your court, if it's your serve, if it's your volley, if it's your chance to act, then what lies inside of you, let it be for the way of peace. Be at peace with each other. There's just something better about life when you have peace with those around you. When you don't have peace, when there's acrimony and turmoil, ain't nobody happy. The old thing that somebody bought for my Aunt Shirley one time, much to my Uncle Ben's chagrin, was if Mom ain't happy, nobody's happy. And that's true. Because if Mom ain't happy, we may not get fed, or we may not get our clothes washed, and all that stuff that she did that nobody ever even considered. When you have in your own home, when you have within your own family, when you have within your own circle of friends, things that are going on that is not peaceful, then you're miserable, aren't you? When things aren't at peace, it gnaws at you. It's constant. It never goes away. But guess what? We serve a God who can take it away. We serve a God who can bring peace to a messed up situation. What does it require for people to humble themselves and to admit sometimes they're wrong and say, you know what, you're right. I was wrong. Forgive me. There's beauty in reconciliation, and that's what God desires, is reconciliation. Seek the way of peace by seeking the way of reconciliation. Be able to own your part. Be able to have a little bit of grace toward those who have wronged you. It's okay to say, it's okay. You forgive. God says, how often should... Someone asked Jesus, how often should I forgive 70 times 7? You say, you don't know what he did. I don't care what he did. God says, forgive and keep on forgiving. You've messed up too, and you want people to forgive you. You need to learn how to forgive. Be graceful and forgive. If you're the one who's harming, see what you're doing and the discord that is causing, and seek forgiveness to bring back happiness into your home, into your family, into your circle of friends. God desires that we have peace with those around us. As a child of God, you ought to be a great example of what it means to have peace in your life, every aspect of your life. If it's not so, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. Make it right. Make it right. He'll help you. He will give you the strength to make it right. If you will humble yourself, he will lift you up. Finally, he wants us to have peace with him. He wants us to have peace with each other, and He wants you to have peace within, personal peace inside of your heart. Now I lay me down to sleep. You know, I want to be able to lay down at night to sleep and be at peace. There are some people I wonder, how in the world can they lay down at night, and do they have peace? And I answered to myself, no, there's no way. There's no way. Great verses, Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, when a judge rules, that means it's a law, right? The bailiff and everybody else involved, they know that, okay, we're going to carry that out because the judge has said so. And God says, let peace be that judge in your life. Let Him rule in your heart. Seek the way of peace. Seek the way of peace. Let it rule in your heart. I already read the verse from John 14:27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give the kind of peace that the world gives. So He says, don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. You have Jesus' peace if you're a child of God. Rest in that peace. You want to know why men get up in a deer stand high up off the ground? This is not a joke. This is a true story. Because deer typically don't look up. You know, they typically don't look up. They know their surroundings very well. They have super good hearing and very good sense of smell. But they don't go around looking up because of the stuff that's going to get them is down here. And so they typically don't look up. So that we get up in deer stands to, you know, fool the deer. Not only that, we would see a lot better from up in that deer stand, right? Can see a longer distance. Can see them coming from afar. I didn't shoot a deer this morning in my sermon. Don't worry about that. But the illustration of the deer, I want to bring back to our fellow, Longfellow, I should say. He didn't leave us with no peace on earth in that wonderful Christmas song. He didn't write it until after 3 years of mourning had taken place over the loss of his sweet wife. But eventually, he found peace again. And he continued after those words of no peace on earth. Because of all the fighting. In the midst of the Civil War, by the way, is when he wrote that hymn. And then he says, then rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells, they're ringing, peace on earth. Like a choir, they're singing, peace on earth. And with our hearts, we'll hear them, peace on earth. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Do you hear the bells? They're ringing, peace on earth. The light, the angels singing, peace on earth. Open up your heart and hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. From his tragedy, he finally looked up. And his night turned to day, and he found peace again with the God that he trusted in. We go through difficult times sometimes, for sure. But let us never forget that we serve a God who loves us, who's always there for us. And he wants for us to have peace with him, with each other, and certainly within our own hearts. He gave us a wonderful Bible, didn't he? What would we do without Philippians 4, 6, and 7? Well, we would find it somewhere else, probably. But it said so well there. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You want peace with God? He tells you how to find it. Get on your knees and pray. Pray to God with thanksgiving. Let your request be known. Then the peace of God will take over. Let me leave you with this 2 Thessalonians 3:16 verse. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Amen. Let's stand together.